Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee now in prayer. We have lifted up our voices in a song of praise and adoration to thy great name and to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is to thy word that we turn our attention, and we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit would guide us as we assemble together for this purpose. Teach us thy way, and we pray, O Lord, that as we read thy word, we would allow the words of the hymn to ring within our hearts, that thy ways, that thy glory, that thy name would be praised now and forevermore through our gathering together, through the lives that we lead. May we bear witness of Jesus Christ, his teachings, his death, and his resurrection until thou wilt return. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I desire that we would turn this evening and read three brief portions of Scripture, beginning with Luke chapter 17, the first two verses. Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. For our first reading. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. For our next reading, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. And begin reading with verse 33. Till the end of the chapter. This is the occasion in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus is having the same topic discussed. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down, and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. The final passage is found in Matthew chapter 18. The first 14 verses of Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses! For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Desire to conclude with verse 14. Even as we prayed together, we are truly blessed to be able to assemble ourselves and hear the teachings of Jesus Christ, to hear his words, the words of the one we call Master and Lord, Savior and Redeemer, the one whom in song we've raised his name in adoration and worship, the one whom we look up to as the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And he's teaching here about his kingdom and how to enter his kingdom. He speaks of coming in as a little child. And it's with that heart and that willingness to listen, the understanding of our dependence upon the Lord and his wisdom to guide us and teach us. We come to the words of Jesus Christ that speak to us in these three accounts about offenses. And Jesus intends for these teachings to make an impact and a difference in our life. He gives an observation that only he can give as he views eternity in perfect perspective, and he tells us and his disciples, there's no way but that offenses will come. Offenses will come. And what is an offense? We use the term offenses today to refer to breaking of a law or to hurting somebody's feelings, making them angry or disappointed. But what this is referring to is some source of stumbling, a stumbling block, or a snare. Those of you who know about the outdoors know that a snare is a small little twig or a small little string that sets off the bigger trap. It's something that's in the way. It's something that's not always noticed. And that's one of the things that makes it so dangerous. If the hunter put a big brick wall along the game trail to be a snare, all the deer would know. They would recognize, hey, this is a big problem. I'm obviously not going to be able to walk in front of this. I'll go around. But when you're walking through the woods and the terrain is a little bumpy and there's a root that's just sticking up high enough to catch the bottom of your shoe and it trips you up and it makes you stumble, that's the idea of this snare, of this stumbling block. It's something that causes you to become disoriented as you lose your balance. And if you fall, you need someone to pick you up. As I thought about these scriptures this week, I couldn't believe how many times I stepped on something or tripped on something this week. And maybe because the kids leave their toys around the house, but I thought about, oh, I was offended because I was tripped up. And Jesus says, it will happen. That there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be subtle obstacles in your way as a disciple of Jesus Christ. When you're running fast, you worry about tripping. You worry about falling. And it might make you preoccupied with when is the next thing going to come or is the next thing going to come. Jesus doesn't want us to live in anxiety over if an obstacle or a stumbling block will come in our way. He wants us to accept that reality that yes, it will happen. The way is narrow. Steep and thorny, we sing, is the way. There's a lot of opposition, and Satan uses subtlety to his advantage because we don't often notice those little things. Maybe some examples would help to illustrate. There might be some examples that the younger folks might appreciate. We can readily acknowledge that technology and video games can be a big problem. There's problems with addictions, There's problems with the content and the violence. But video games, really, they span a wide spectrum of content, right? There's the simple game of the snake that eats the fruit, and then it gets longer, and then it gets harder and harder. Very simple, simple game. But then there's a spectrum of content that goes from that all the way to something that we would obviously see as sinful, that promotes killing, violence, immorality, stealing cars. Now, you need to think about that spectrum that's offered to you and make a decision. Where's the snare? Where's the point along that spectrum that you trip and you stumble and you go outside of God's will and plan for your life? Sometimes it's not as easy as just the content, is it? What if it's a simple thing, but it's consuming your time? How does that fit into God's path for your life? And at what point do you hit that tripwire and the trap is sprung? Or maybe it's the element of the money that you invest into it. Jesus teaches that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. At what point along the spectrum of investing in these games does it become a snare? That tends to be a challenge for young men. But maybe something with a spectrum of options for young ladies might be health and beauty products. There might be some things that have very legitimate health and nutritional value. And the offering that the world gives in that multi-billion-dollar industry spans all the way to the most ostentatious things that promote sensual desire, pride, and the opposite of what's talked about as this little child that is the only one that will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we need discernment to decide where along this spectrum of offerings that we have do we stumble? Does it become a snare? Not only for ourselves, but for others, as they observe us, and as we seek to be the salt and the light. At what point does my involvement in the game or the technology or the beauty product, do I diminish the light and the salt that should be characterizing my life as a disciple of Christ? We can probably put a line where we feel comfortable. And we feel comfortable for ourselves. And that line will often reflect probably something of, well, I like everything up to that point. It reflects a lot of self. But the warning about offenses doesn't just limit us to what I'm comfortable with, but what will edify someone else. The warning is given that woe to that man through whom offense comes. And there are serious consequences for it. And Jesus offers this warning so we can thrive in discipleship and be the kind of disciples that really can testify, the Lord has my heart, the Lord has my life. When I sing about praising him, that's really where I am. And I want everyone else to know that joy. And if there's something in the offerings of this world, whatever it is, that causes me or someone else to be tripped up in the walk that's described by Jesus and the life that we should lead for God's glory and by his grace. The Lord gives us counsel. He does not say, see how close you can get to that limit that you feel comfortable with. He says there needs to be a separation. And that's hard. But Jesus is not asking us to do something that he wasn't willing to do either. Because when Peter, one of his closest disciples, began talking in a way that went against the direction of God's will, Jesus told him, just in a few chapters before in Matthew, chapter 16, Peter began saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. No, Lord, the cross is not for you. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Even to one that he loved, he spoke to the spirit that was working behind him at that moment and said, get behind me. The posture towards the offense is to go in the opposite direction, to go away from that thing, to steer clear. We're given counsel in the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom that was written. And it's written, even as the New Testament says, the scriptures in the old were given that we would not lust against towards evil things. He says in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Woe unto the world because of offenses. The world is stumbling out of God's way and away from God. And Solomon tried to teach and exhort his son, when you recognize the signs of the trap, turn away. Go the other direction. Apostle Paul gives advice on the topic at the end of the book of Romans. We had this in a sermon not long ago in Romans, the final chapter. Chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So the offenses that we need to be careful of, in particular, are ones that would be opposed to or contrary to the Word of God. And that is our compass, that is our roadmap for life, and our main tool for discerning this spectrum of offerings that the world gives us. What does the Word say? What does the Lord call me to? And can this fit? Can this be a representation of discipleship to Christ for my own benefit and for the benefit of those who I interact with? In order to be able to discern what we need to turn away from, we need to know the Scripture. We need to look to the Word. And the teachings of Jesus Christ give us abundant and clear guidance. And even just the teaching of Jesus bringing the child into their midst and talking about humility speaks volumes for what is good and pleasing in the sight of God and what we can abound in as his disciples and what we can be free in as his disciples. Another passage of scripture that can help us on this topic is found in 1 John chapter 2. We want to look for the resources that will help us be successful in following Jesus' teachings. And we see that a serious attitude is one thing that Jesus has exhorted us to go in the opposite direction, to be serious about the separation between the snare that, you know, on the spectrum of things, it might not look too bad when you compare it to something worse. But no. Be firm. The second, look to the Scripture. And then the third is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. We will struggle with things that will seek to trip us up. But there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Do you love your brothers? Do you want to serve them? Do you have that humility? And do I have the humility of the child? They can say, this is my life, and I am now ready. When I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I love my fellow man, I wouldn't want to do something that will put a stumbling block in front of them, that would persuade them that some sin is okay. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. It's Jesus Christ. It's his life. Life of love that we preach and we teach. It's not a difficult thing. Often it's not an easy thing either. But there's great blessing. There's great blessing in staying well within the will of God and his good teachings. It's for our good. And we see such comfort in the teaching of Jesus. See, he doesn't want us to be anxious about if it's going to come, all of these things. You know what? He wants us to look at the facts, acknowledge that what he says is true. It's going to happen. We're going to face obstacles, and some of them are going to be very subtle. And we need the word. We need the love of the brotherhood. We need to not only feel the love of the brotherhood, but also contribute to the love of the brotherhood, that the church might increase with the increase of God. And we see that when we look around at each other, you see someone else who's going through offenses. Someone who's navigating obstacles and things that will trip them up. And we can learn from one another how to serve one another But that takes some vulnerability. To be able to be honest about what we struggle with, or maybe what has hurt us in the past and what didn't work quite so well. But the Lord is putting us all together. We're not so strange or difficult that we struggle, that we find ourselves encountering things that are difficult to discern or easy to trip us up. And when we find ourselves in that situation, we can sometimes get frustrated. Maybe we want to put the blame on somebody else. They did this. This is the reason why this happened. If they weren't such a poor example. You know, I hear that in my testimony as I was converting, and I hear that from unbelievers even today. But that's just a confirmation that Jesus' teachings are true. That you're facing this. It's a confirmation that Jesus knows what he's talking about. It's a confirmation that Satan doesn't want you to humble yourself as a child. He wants you to stay puffed up and feel like you deserve something better, or feel like you have an excuse that, well, they didn't do it quite so right, so why should I have to do this and this? We don't have an excuse. Jesus doesn't provide us with those. He provides us with clear guidance. He provides us with his love and all that we need for life and godliness. What precious and exceeding great promises we have. We have an abundance of good, but this also brings responsibility. And we can't use the excuses of somebody else didn't do or somebody else did do. God has given us instructions. He will hold us responsible. At the same time, when a child of God, as he's describing these little children that believe in me, when they're offended, there are consequences to those who would be to blame for that. And that relieves us as God's children from a lot of the emotional roller coaster that goes with being tripped up, being set off course. It's man's normal tendency to want to get back, to get to the source of the problem, to root this out. Scripture is clear that if we're part of the source of the problem, we should take action and we should root it out. But God provides us great comfort. That he will right all wrongs. We don't need to take vengeance. We're his little children that he brings into the midst and he holds in his arms, wanting to teach the world about his kingdom. And he will provide. He's our Father. He's your Father, and he speaks these words to you to comfort your heart, that as you go through struggles, as you navigate those difficult decisions, you have all you need. Now is the time to believe and to surrender like a child. May God bless his word. Amen.
Jesus is talking about hell. And Apostle Paul, we never find in his writings that he speaks about hell, but Jesus does. And so that really ought to cause us to listen to what he is saying here. And he's talking about, as the brother brought out, offenses. Anything that we do, as Paul says in Corinthians, he says, it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. If we take liberty in sin and cause someone else to sin because of my liberty. God's Jesus here is saying that, whoa. He says offenses are going to come. Why? Because of the depravity of men. Sin will exist because of man's state. But woe unto you, he says, if they sin because of your sin. And that's why, and even the brother mentioned in the prayer, the pain of losing a hand or an eye or so on, that we really need to consider that it's better to even do that than to end up in hell's fire, everlasting fire. So we've learned much this evening, and been reminded of much, even the being ashamed. As you know, one of the worst things is to face someone when you are found out. Someone finds something out, and now they're directly in front of you, and you're just ashamed. We see people who weep crocodile tears and, oh, I'm going to own it. I take ownership. Anything, just leave me alone. Get away from me. Don't make me face what I've done. And that's how the disciples felt when Jesus said, what were you talking about? Because they realized in front of Jesus, how can they act or be great? So we have to really just be brought to that. Everything that we do, we are doing it in front of him. Can we act great as we are in front of him? Can we act like we've done anything good or that we are good in front of him? When we are in his presence, we are made meek. We are made nothing while we are in his presence every day. And so let's consider that in our lives, how we talk, what we do, and be careful so that it's not better for a millstone to be hung around our neck and cast into the depths of the sea. Jesus says, woe unto you. So any liberties that we take and someone else sees them and does the same thing, we now will give an answer for the sin of that other soul also. That's what Jesus makes clear. So may God, as we've been instructed much this evening, and really be brought to that humility that Jesus can then work in our hearts when we are made low and of nothing. That's who Jesus can come into our heart and impart the kingdom of heaven unto us. Amen.